It's a day when we remember the service and sacrifice of those who defended the United Kingdom and Commonwealth, and to remember the innocent lives lost in conflict, in terrorism, and just because they were nearby. It's a national day to remember the armed forces, the emergency services and their families, a day when we remember those sons and fathers, daughters and mothers who have lost their lives. We are going to just remember. As we focus on perhaps that picture, I'm sure it's familiar for many of you. In the spring of 1915, shortly after losing a friend, the Canadian doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John Mackay wrote the famous poem, which I'm sure you probably remember. Just want to read it as a focus for us to think about and to remember those that we know and all those that we don't know who have given their lives. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, we fell, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. The poppy is a symbol of remembrance and hope. It's become a symbol of remembrance and hope, including hope for a positive future and a peaceful world. Let's just pray. Everlasting God, we remember those who you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all people, and establish harmony among the nations through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Yes, we live in a fallen world, a world of decay, sickness, and death, but we have a Lord and Saviour who gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary so that we can have a relationship with him. Lord, we thank you that you are with us all the time, that we can abide with you. We thank you that you don't ever change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You go through us in the bad times and the good times, and you are there for us. Mm-hmm. We do thank you for giving your life for us so that we can be forgiven of the wrong things that we do and say. We just thank you for your sacrifice. Just as we remember those that gave their lives in the war, we thank you that you gave your life for us. We thank you that you are victorious over death, and that you are with the Father now interceding for us. We thank you for your amazing love that you have for us. Father God, we don't have the words in some ways to express how grateful we are for all you've done for us. We find it hard to really understand the depths of your love and that all it has cost you to continue loving people who often do their own things. But we want to know you more. We want to draw into your presence. Lord, we just pray that you will give us the opportunities and the space to be able to find this time to be with you more and more. We thank you for all you've done.
We thank you that you have set us free, that through your blood, through dying on the cross, we are able to have a relationship with you. We can be forgiven if we come and ask you to forgive us our sins. And we can live with you. We thank you for this. This amazing grace that you have given us.
I'm going to read the reading, which comes from 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to look it up, it's on page 962 in the Church Bible. Page 962, 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll be reading verse 50 to 58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everyone who's in the building, and of course those of you who are watching the live stream on YouTube. Very special Sunday in our church calendar, and indeed in the calendar of the entire country, as many people will be gathering today to remember those who gave their lives in the two world wars and in all the conflicts ever since. The reason we're having the early morning service this week is because there is going to be an Aston Churches Together remembrance service up at the top of Aston by the war memorial. So if anyone would like to go to that after this service, just make your way up there. If not, if you prefer to stay here, we will be serving refreshments as usual. So just a few notices for this coming week. Tomorrow, Monday, prayer and meditation via Zoom at 9:30. The ARC playgroup or meeting at 10 o'clock and again at 1 in the afternoon. On Wednesday, we have the prayer meeting for healing that David's requested. The church will be open from 9 o'clock for private prayer and reflection. And then the actual prayer meeting for the healing will be starting at 10:30. So if you'd like to come to that, that's on Wednesday this week. Thursday the 14th, we have the lunch club down here at church at 12. Next Saturday, it's the prayer meeting down here at church at 9:30. And then Treat and Grange at 10:30, I think, yes. So if you'd like to be part of that, that's next Saturday. Also next Saturday, we have the big quiz evening for Tear Fund. I've been mentioning this for a few weeks now. Excuse me. It's for the charity Tear Fund. Light refreshments will be served during the evening. It's starting at 6 o'clock. Jan's put some sheets up at the back, some sign-up sheets. We'd like people to sign up into teams, if that's okay. When you see the sheet at the back, hopefully it'll be self-explanatory. So if you can sign up Or if you, I think probably today, because there's not many of us here, it just give us a ring if you want to come, or just turn up. We can sort it out on the night, but that's the plan. It's a quiz that's been done all over the country or in different areas, and so it's going to be done by video, is it?
It's a quiz slightly earlier than the national quiz.
Yeah. The idea, I think, was that... Yeah, that initially it was all going to start at 8 o'clock, so everybody would be doing it all together. But we think that that's a little bit late, so we're gonna crack on and see what happens, aren't we, Jan? No donations except for the tier fund, please. If anyone'd like to donate for that, that would be really good. We'll see if we can send a significant amount to them. Sunday the 24th of November is our cafe church. Jan's done some lovely. Honestly, you're getting so good at this. Really good. You should set up your own little business. Loads of little flyers at the back for our cafe church, which is on the 24th of November, which is 2 weeks today. I think most people know what it's about. It's just a kit when we just meet up, our breakfast together, chat, and there'll be a small message at the end of it. Please do invite family and friends. It's always a good time just to get to know people. So that is on Sunday, the November the 24th. Excuse me. Now, I mentioned last week that the trustees were meeting last Sunday, and on the back of that, we need to call a church meeting as soon as possible, just to discuss a couple of issues that have come up that the church needs to know about. So, after the cafe church on Sunday the 24th, if you could just stay around for a little while, all church members. We'll have a meeting in the room at the side there. Hopefully it won't take very long, but it's something that we really need to do. So if you could put that in your diary for Sunday the 24th, after the cafe church, make your way through there and we'll just have the short meeting. I'll be sending an email out to all church members, hopefully by tomorrow, to let you know exactly what's happening. So that's something else for your diary. And then on Saturday the 30th of November, by popular demand, the wonderful Mrs. Dean is organising a Christmas tea dance. That's going to be in the church hall next door. We had one in the summer and it was great, wasn't it? And everybody said how much they enjoyed it. So we thought we'd do it again, but with a Christmas theme this time. So that's on Saturday the 30th of November, round about 2 o'clock. We're asking for £2 donations from everybody to cover the cost of the food. And again, there's a sign-up sheet at the back if you'd like to come in. Just for a rough idea of numbers, really. So, that's something for you to bear in mind. Sorry, it's a bit of a long all this morning. Right, Knitted Angels. Now, Aston Churches Together, there's one of the ministers that's involved in that, is organising a project called, I think she said it was called Angel Bombs. Anyway, what it's about is everyone's been asked to knit a little angel. Now, apparently, it's really easy. Don't know whether we've got any experienced knitters here, but apparently it's a really easy pattern. You knit a little angel, and then we take them, I think probably up to Central, and they're going to put labels on them saying that it's from Aston Churches Together. They're free, please take one, that kind of thing. And we hang them round the community for people just to take. And it's a way of letting the community know that the churches are actually in action around this area. So if anybody would like, we're trying to get some patterns for next week. They can be as plain or as fancy as you like. If you can provide your own wool, that would be good, and your own needles. But if you'd like to take part in that, and apparently if we don't get enough for this year, we're going to save them and do it next year. So just be thinking, it might be something that people might like to take part in. Newsletters, there were some new newsletters at the end of the month, but Facebook page, website are all regularly updated. So if anyone's not sure, I know there's been a lot to take in this morning, just give one of us a ring and we'll be able to put you straight.
Can you just mention the Just Giving page? So if people can't come next week, there's a Just Giving page.
Oh, right, yeah.
For the Tear Fund event, if you can't get to church but you'd like to donate, there is a Just Giving page that George has set up from the church. So head over to there and then you can donate through that if you prefer. I've just got two messages from, what first one is from Pauline Lawson, and she thanks everyone very much for their prayers for Tony. Everything's gone okay and he's now safely home recovering. And Livy just wants to say a big thank you to everyone for their cards, messages and phone calls in the last couple of weeks since her mum passed away. So she's very grateful for all this. And please keep the prayers coming. Thank you.
Right, good morning, everybody. And good morning online, if you're watching online, catching up later, whatever it might be. Keep your Bibles open on page 961 for that passage in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll pray for us, shall I? Our Father in heaven, as we consider your word this morning, help us be people who are good at remembering. Help us be people who are good at reflecting. Help us to reflect on death, eternal life, the sacrifice of others, as well as reflecting on the life that we live now. Father, please help us be shaped by the truths that we hear in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, as a country and as a church community, we're thinking about honour, sacrifice, and service. We're thinking about war and conflict, suffering, and death. And those are scarily common around the world, aren't they? They're too familiar to us in the news. But I wonder if we don't actually think about those things that much for ourselves personally. I know that for some, grief is present right now in very, very painful ways. But for lots of us, we often actually try to avoid thinking about death. We try to ignore it. Of course, there are times when it confronts us. When we go to funerals, or when war is in the headline news, or days like today, when we remember the sacrifices people made for our freedom. And I think these are healthy days for us. When we do take time to ponder on death, we have lots of questions. What's death like? In general, what will death be like for me? Will I be brave in the moment, like those soldiers that we think about? What about then, afterwards? What comes next? Thoughts and talk of death quickly become thoughts and talk of life after death. We say that people go on before us somewhere else, to heaven, to a new life, to a new creation. But if we're honest, we don't really know what that will be. And so on Remembrance Sunday, I think we shouldn't just think about those who died in service over the years, as important as that is. Nor should we just think about those who are dying in conflict right now around the world, as important as that is. Because today is a rare chance for us to slow down and to think about ourselves, our lives, and our purpose, and especially to ponder about our death, what comes next. And it's for that reason that I chose that passage in 1 Corinthians 15. The verses that Suzanne read are wonderful verses about resurrection and life after death. And the passage will show us that what comes next will be different. In particular, there will be no more death. It will be amazing. But it has huge implications on how we live our life today as well. I'll say four quick things from the passage. And the first of all is this: we will be different. We will be different. In the life after death, in the world to come, we will be different. And those are the opening verses of our passage, aren't they? Verse 51 has a repeated idea. We shall all be changed, it says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. We shall all be changed. And then at the end of verse 52, you can see it again. We shall be changed. You see, we try to imagine eternal life, and we've got so many questions, haven't we? Kids have got great questions when they talk about it. What age will I be in heaven? What age will Grandpa be in heaven? And if he's a young grandpa, will I recognise him? The more we think about it, the more questions appear. Will we age at all in heaven? Will we need to eat? Will we need to sleep? Will I still need to shave? Will we get hurt if we fall over? And I think of all those questions, and I think all those questions come from the same sort of problem, really. Imagining us the same, but there. The same, but somewhere else, forever. We're not appreciating quite how different things will be, and how different we will be. The opening verse says that we are now flesh and blood, and our bodies are perishable. They don't last. And so, actually, as we are at the moment, we wouldn't fit into the eternal world. The reality is that for that life, we need to be changed into something completely different, into something that does last. And what that will be, I don't know. But the point is the magnitude, the enormity of the difference. Earlier on in this chapter, we've been given two ways of thinking about it to help us appreciate the difference. In one place, it said that we are made of the dust of earth. And that phrase, the dust of earth, is a familiar phrase to a lot of people. It's often used at funerals. But then in eternal life, we will be made of the dust of heaven. How wonderful is that? Something different, something imperishable. The earlier sentences also gave us the illustration of a seed being planted in the ground. That the planting is like the death of the seed, but it comes back. It's not dead. It sprouts up. But what comes out is really very different from the seed. It's a green shoot that grows into a plant that grows a wonderful flower. And you would look again at the seed and you'd think, how on earth has that flower ever come from that seed? It's a mystery. Verse 51 says, we shall not all sleep. That means we will not all die. Some will still be alive when Jesus returns and the change happens. But there will be a definite moment to come, a flash, a twinkling of an eye, a great trumpet sound, and we will be changed into something new. In about 40 minutes, at 11 o'clock, across the country, people will hear a great trumpet sound. We often play the last post on Remembrance Sunday at memorial services. It's a very moving moment. And as we imagine that sound, we can understand that there is an even greater trumpet sound to come. It will signal the end of life as we know it. And it will bring us in an instant to new life, to wonderfully different life. There's something lovely about imagining others in eternal life now, isn't there? I know for many of us, grief is near to us today. Connections to specific soldiers are probably quite rare, but loss in general, that's close, it's near to us. And we cannot help but imagine them in glory as we remember them. However, the biblical reality is, the next time you see them, they will be different. In the mystery of God's plan, you'll know it's them, but they will be so different, made up of something new, something strong, something eternal. And your mind will be blown by the sight of them in their glory, who they were meant to be. And it will be true for you, and it will be true for me, and it will be true for everybody there. It will be a new world full of new people, and it will be wonderfully different. The next few verses make it clear that the most significant difference will be that we will not die. And that's the second thing to note. We will not die. Verse 53, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. We will be made of new stuff, stuff that lasts forever, the dust of heaven. And that language there, putting on stuff, it makes me think of putting on a uniform. Soldiers put on their uniforms, don't they, before their passing out parade, the completion of their training. And it's with that uniform that they wear with pride on that occasion that they become a complete soldier, that they signify that they are ready to serve. I don't know whether you remember those recruitment adverts on TV. Born in Yorkshire, mated in the Royal Navy. Do you remember those? Those soldiers made of different stuff. And for eternity, we will be made of different stuff. Imperishable, immortal, and no one will die anymore. And when that happens, verse 54, then the saying that is written will come true. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death is, I think, the worst thing about life in this world. We know that there are different types of death that hit us in different ways. Death in old age, when someone's lived a good life, we can accept that. Then there's the sacrificial, heroic death, like those that we think of today. We grieve, but we see the honour in that. And then there's tragic, untimely death. And the sorrow of that is overwhelming. But across all of that, it's the existence of death itself that's the terrible thing. We learn to cope with it, don't we? We can accept it in different degrees, but no one would claim that it's a good thing. It separates, it removes, it stings, and there is nothing we can do about it. It will get us in the end, and it will get our loved ones. And I hate to think about it. You probably all know Forrest Gump's famous line, "Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." But there is another line in that film that has always struck me. "Mama always said, death is a part of life, but I wish it wasn't." Well, don't we all? And those soldiers, the ones in the adverts, the ones in the history books, it makes us believe are made of different stuff, but they're not. They're made of the same stuff as us. Perishable, breakable. And hence, the need to remember their sacrifice this morning. Whether that be physical or mental injury or death. Hundreds of thousands of them. And we remember them. So this biblical promise that we're reflecting on, this promise of a world where there is no more death, is one that should bring us joy and hope. The prospect of a new world to come and a new life to come. The prospect of a place where death will be gone. The prospect of an existence without sadness. We don't need to despair. We will come into that place of joy and happiness, and it will never come to an end. The idea of everlasting life is unsettling to some, I know. We've reflected on it a little bit at house group. God, will we not get bored? But please believe that by the power of God, it will be a life of ever-increasing joy and satisfaction. Like my new body to come, I can't understand it. It's the promise of the Bible. And that's the hope that I want to offer anyone here or anyone watching today who is scared. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you were thinking, well, how is this possible? How do we know that this is true? And that brings us to our third point. Jesus has already had the victory. This is verse 55 to 57. Jesus has had the victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we remember those who gave their lives in war, but particularly that they gave their lives so that we could be victorious in those wars. We've already reflected on it, haven't we, in prayers. They gave their lives so that we could have peace, so that we could triumph over tyranny. In our national narrative, victory matters. Those soldiers from the past saved us from tyranny, saved us into freedom. And similarly, Jesus Christ gave his life to bring us victory over death itself. It's massively important. What am I talking about? How does this work? How do we know it's all true? It's because of the real events in history. Today, we look primarily back to those two world wars. They're real events in history that changed the world. But I would say that we need to look even further back to the real events in the life of Jesus and his story, which changed the world. He was a real man, born in Bethlehem, lived in the Middle East. He became a famous teacher. He became a miracle performer. He claimed to be the Son of God. He died on a Roman cross at the hands of those who hated him. None of that is up for dispute. From his perspective, he was giving his life as a willing sacrifice in the place of others. 3 days later, he rose again. He was seen by many people. He was never to die again. He was opening up a new world, and he was bringing us through to it. We like to think of a neatness in war. Goodies versus baddies, good versus evil. A clear final victory. But the historical reality is that wars are really nothing like that. Maybe there is an aggressor and a defender, but usually both sides end up doing wicked things. And rare is a clear-cut victory that brings permanent peace. Usually it's a worn-out stalemate or a surrender that sows bitterness. Often we just set up the prologue to the next conflict. But with Jesus, it really is neat. He is the story of all stories, the story that all other narratives long towards. He is the truly good one who does battle with the devil, with sin, and with death. And he has the one complete victory that comes through his sacrifice. And it comes with his resurrection. His victory, the resurrection, is the moment that means that we can be sure that there is life after death and death will be no more. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, with Jesus we will stand again, risen, alive, victorious over death. For those following Christ, we can have certainty, not doubt. We can have hope, not fear, because of those real events of the past. And so the final thing to say is to echo the conclusion of this glorious chapter. Live well now. That's verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Our hope for the future, based on true events of the past, changes everything about the present. And so in the present, we should remember about the reality of death. In the present, we should have days like today. And when we go to funerals, or hear about war, or just walk out of this building and pass the names engraved into those bricks, people who have long gone, when we do those things, each time it is a reminder that death is real, that death is coming, and we cannot ignore it. But we also remember our gospel hope. We saw that picture earlier on, didn't we? The war, the graves, the poppies, in France. And when you go to those fields now, a lot of them are cemeteries, war cemeteries, row upon row upon row upon row of crosses. And those crosses remind us that Jesus has had the victory. Death is not the end. The trumpet will sound and we will be made new. That's why self-sacrifice is possible. If this life was all there is, we should eat, drink and be merry, doing all we can to preserve our comfortable lives. But we know that there is more. So people do give their lives for others. And we can compromise in our lives for the sake of others. It says in these verses, stand firm, let nothing move you. There are terrible and sad things that happen in life. Death causes many to despair. It even causes Christians to give up their faith. But no, Jesus is victorious. So stand firm in him. Your labour is not in vain. Death seems to make a mockery of the things that we achieve in our life, but it's not true. The things that we do now ripple into eternity. The people we bless, the good deeds that we do, the happy memories, the relationships that we have, all of those things will last. But remember that it is labour in the Lord. Work with him and for him. Jesus is the one who brings all things to life. So today, Remembrance Sunday, a rare opportunity to slow down and think about these big questions of life and death. Let's not rush back to the busyness and the preoccupations of life. Let's make sure that we take the chance to think these things through. Let's make sure we take this God-given opportunity today to ponder on life and death. And most importantly, to ponder on the promises made by Jesus. Well, before we hand back over and close with the final song, let's pray together, shall we? Almighty Father in heaven, Please help us see things clearly. Help us to consider life and death, meaning and purpose. Help us remember the sacrifice of others. Help us to think hard about our own lives. And Lord, having heard this word, help us to consider it and help us to respond to it. Help us to live well now, believing the promises we have in Jesus. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name, for our salvation and for his glory. Amen.
That he is the power within us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace. Amen.